Welcome to Community Chapel of Greenville. The following message was recorded on Wednesday, April the 12th, 2023. Please join us as Senior Pastor Rit Variali Sr. teaches on Ezekiel chapter 22.
Chapter 22, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Now, son of man, prosecutor, Will you judge the bloody city? Yes, show her all her abominations." These are abominations to the Lord, offenses to the Lord. "Then say, thus says the Lord God, the city sheds blood in her own midst, that her time may come. She makes idols within herself to defile herself. You have become guilty by the blood which you have shed, and have defiled yourself with the idols you have made. You have caused your days to draw near. You have come to the end of your years. It's over. Time is up. You're finished." The extreme violence. They would ask Jesus, "Lord, tell us, what is the greatest commandment of all?" And what did he say? "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." He didn't say enemy, he said neighbor. "I'm not your enemy, I'm your neighbor." Right, neighbor? Yeah. Yeah. Boy, we're not doing very good in that category, are we? Indicative of the fact that Israel was so unjust, acting so viciously, brutally towards one another, and their violation of marriage. You know, we know what Malachi said, Malachi. Wasn't it Malachi, the Italian prophet, Malachi? He said about marriage, what was happening then? "You burnt my toast, I'm divorcing you." You know, they weren't taking their marriages seriously. There wasn't the real love that they should have for their spouse, their husband, or their wife. And because of the vertical wasn't where it needed to be for the horizontal to be all that it should be. And so just as in Judah's day and old, there was no real love for God. They would mouth the words, but Jesus himself would say, "Your lips draw near to me, but your heart is so far from me." It's not what's in your head, it's what's in your heart, right? And we have a lot of people that give God lip service, but when you start to make inquiries of their life, their soul is being lifted up in another matter. All right, isn't that true? What's the number one complaint that unbelievers have of the church? Yeah. And they're absolutely correct. Christendom is full of hypocrites who mouth one thing and live another, right? So they aren't who they say they are. They don't do according to what they say they believe. Jesus is holding Israel accountable. "You don't love me, you love yourself." And it's demonstrated in the fact that you have all these idols that you worship, that you lift up your soul to. These idols of materialism, these idols of sexual pleasure, these idols of putting yourself into an altered state of consciousness, whether it was their alcohol or their pharmakia, you know. Rachel and her mandrakes. Most of you probably don't even know that story, you know. Rachel, rather get high than go to her bed with her husband. Amazing, isn't it? What's changed, beloved? All these millennia, what's changed? Look at the violence we've done in marriage today. Look at the way we're treating children today. 50% that are fortunate enough to make it out of the womb don't have much of a future, do they? No. We've twisted things so much for them. Leah, you thank God that you have James and Christina as your parents, right? Yeah. We're supposed to produce godly offspring, to follow in our example. But what kind of an example are we setting? Men think what makes a man today is someone who goes into a ring and knocks someone senseless in an MMA competition, right? Or MMA or whatever they call it. I don't know. A real man is the one who takes the courage to take his responsibility seriously, his marital responsibilities, his fatherly responsibilities, his responsibilities as a citizen, as a Christian, his responsibilities as a church to be a spiritual leader. So warped today, aren't we? Much like Israel. Yes, these are the accusations against them. They're extremely violent, and they love themselves rather than loving God. And because they don't love God or their neighbor, God's going to have to judge them for it. Therefore, I have made you a reproach to the nations and a mockery to all countries. I'm sorry?
The USA.
USA. Look what's happened. Exactly. That's where I was going. You know, 1956. Everybody wanted to come to America. It was a land of opportunity, the land of promise, truth, justice, and the American way, as Superman would stand there and his cape would flow. Did I say Superman? I didn't say Pooperman, did I? I said Superman, didn't I? Yeah, Superman. Truth, justice, and the American way. You know, that used to be true. It was true for some time, wasn't it? Oh, but look at now, we have forsaken the God of our fathers. And do you know what a mockery we are? As I shared with you last time, you know, you have the president of El Salvador, you have the Ugandans, you have Putin himself giving us lessons on morality because the rest of the world is mocking us, making fun of us because we've lost our minds collectively. It's just what happened to Israel. Amazing. Look, those near and those far from you will mock you as infamous and full of tumult, trouble, and destruction. And the Chinese are laughing. They don't have to do a thing. We're destroying ourselves. And these tough sanctions, crippling sanctions that we placed upon Putin, you know, to bring him to his knees, to be a deterrent. What a joke that was. The Russian currency is greater value today than it was before the war in Ukraine. Did you know that? And who's the biggest purchaser of gold in the world right now? Russia. Russia is taking those petrodollars and using it to buy more weaponry, but they're also buying gold at an alarming rate. When did we come off the gold standard? Nixon administration. Nixon took us off the gold standard. Worst thing that ever happened to our economy. Now we just have monopoly money. Our money's not backed up by gold. Before, every dollar that they printed had to be backed up by a certain amount of gold. Now we just produce money like a monopoly game. We're going to go into a period of hyperinflation. The Chinese, the Russians, the Iranians, the Saudi Arabians, they're all just laughing now, mocking us, wondering how in the world did we get this idiot in the White House? It's true. I mean, I'm not making this up. Am I making this up? Any of this sound unrealistic to you? Isn't it amazing? This was 2,500 years ago. It's all repeating itself. We never learn the lessons of the past. Look, verse 6, your princes of Israel, each one has used his power to shed blood in you. They take their authority and they're using it for their own corrupt means. Here they're doing everything they can to try to prosecute this innocent man who was our previous president, when the current man in the White House should be in the jailhouse with his son and his brother and his wife and everybody else of the Biden cartel. You know, this will probably get us kicked off YouTube now. We need to pray that the pastors in the pulpits of America will start to speak the truth. Because that's how we got here, you know. If you study the prophets and how they spoke to the people and you study Jesus and how he spoke to the multitudes, and you study the apostles of Jesus and how they spoke to the people, were they ever concerned about how they were going to receive the message? And what did they do to almost every one of them, almost every single one of them? They killed them. Why? They spoke the truth, because they spoke the truth, and they were murdered for it. Jesus himself said, which of the prophets have you not killed? Your fathers, that is. Which of the apostles were not killed save one? The only one that wasn't was John. Jesus himself. If they hate me, of course they're going to hate you. Woe, Jesus said, when all men speak well of you, for so your fathers did to the false prophets who were before you. Thank you, Christy. Well, we have lots of false prophets today, don't we? If you're going to speak the truth, you're not going to be popular, not in this culture. And if they could, they'd kill you for it. And that's exactly what they're doing, aren't they? This cancel culture. And all of the violence that these transgender activists are trying to exact. But don't be afraid. Speak the truth. You do the right thing, no matter what the consequence. And you speak the truth, irrespective of the audience. A prophet always spoke to an audience that was antagonistic to his message. But he had the courage to speak the truth. Because he was under obligation. He was under contract, you see. Yeah, the princes, the government officials in Israel, they use their authority and their power to shed blood for their own personal gain. Injustice, apostasy. Verse 7, in you they have made light of father and mother in your midst. They have oppressed the stranger. What's happening? What authority do parents have today over their children? None. All parental authority has been gone. They make light of father and mother. Well, we recognize the real number one problem societally is that fatherlessness exists today. Where are the fathers? And I'm not talking about just absentee fathers who aren't there physically present, but the number of fathers who are there present and they're not fathering their children. We were talking with my son because he came down to do the Seder. My son in whom I am well pleased. Wasn't always that way, though. But we were talking about how when he started high school, I used to tell him frequently. What would I tell him?
You're leaving.
Please make no mistake. I love you. Your mother don't love you no more. I love you just as much, but you're leaving. When you graduate, you're going to get a job in an apartment, you're going to the service, or you're going to college, but you're leaving. You're not staying here. Me and the girl are going to have a house to ourselves. What did that do?
Prepared
and made him think, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to leave. How am I going to take care of myself? Now, it's your mother and my job to prepare you for the day you leave. If you pay attention and you listen to us and you do as we instruct you, you're going to be okay. If you don't pay attention and you don't listen to us, you're leaving anyway, but you're not going to be okay. It's up to you. Isn't that what God says? Isn't that what the word is all about? He says, I love you. Nobody loves you like I love you. But you have to take responsibility and become the man, the woman that God wants you to be, that he created you to be for his glory and for his honor. But you're going out there anyway, aren't you? How parents do such an injustice to their children when they don't teach them the reality of the world they're going to walk into. It's not all about you. The world's not all centered around you. It's not in the world, and it's not here in this house. But boy, that's not the case in most homes, is it? Amen? Give me an amen. Somebody give me an amen. No, these kids are raised like the whole world, everything revolves around them, and then they go out into the real world, and it wasn't about me. Yeah. Now what do I do? Now they can't function. In you have made light of father and mother in your midst. You've oppressed the stranger. In you have mistreated the fatherless and the widow. Who's more fatherless than the unborn? You have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbaths. Now they were going, listen, they were going to the temple. Temple participation and worship at the temple, it didn't drop. I was just speaking with Adele. Did she leave? She left. Why did she leave? Ollie? Where did she go? Elliot's soccer match. Now, I enlightened her of a fact that for probably centuries, if certainly decades, but for centuries, the midweek service of the church in America was when? That's midweek, okay? It's not hard to figure out. When was the service in the church midweek? And how long has that been? As long as I can remember, and Ed, you're older than I am, how long has it been Wednesday nights? Since Moses crossed, he didn't cross over, did he? No, Joshua crossed over. Since Joshua crossed over, it's been Wednesday nights, hasn't it? As long as you can remember, hasn't it? Can anybody can remember a different time? Anybody remember a different time other than Wednesday night? They close on the afternoon on Wednesday, just like they close on Sunday. Now, why is it that school athletic programs would have games and practices on Wednesdays? Why is it that Clem's son, Clem, you know Clem, would have their practices and some of their games on Sunday? Would this nation, would the church in the United States ever produce another Eric Lindell? Who's Eric Lindell? Chariots of Fire. Chariots of Fire. If you've never seen the movie, you need to see the movie. It's a true story. The man was an Olympic athlete, world-class athlete. But he would never, ever, ever train on Sundays. Sunday was the Lord's Day, right? And he was preparing to go to China as a missionary, remember? Yeah. But he was also a runner. God made him fast, and so he loved to run. He enjoyed running. Well, in his particular heat, and I don't remember if it was the 200 meters or whatever it was, he was the fastest man in the world. And so he was going to represent the United Kingdom, Great Britain, at the Olympics. But they decided, the Olympic Committee decided that his heat would be run on Sunday. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Wait a minute, it's not Easter Sunday. You know, it's not Christmas morning. This is not a high Sunday in the church calendar. It's just a normal, regular Sunday. You can do this. No, I can't. I will not lift up my soul to another. You think we'd ever produce somebody like that today? He refused to run. He was guaranteed a gold medal. But he said no. They pulled a bunch of Olympic athletes and asked them, if you were guaranteed to win a gold medal but you die in 5 years, would you do it? The majority of them said yes. Yeah. Yes. That's how much that piece of gold meant to them. But Lindell said, no, no, no. Gladly forfeit the gold for what he has for me. Then he ended up having the fortunate opportunity to run in another race that wasn't his race. And do you know the true story? He got knocked to the ground. And he got up and ran and won the race. Amazing. Who did that? The wind beneath his wings, right? But now listen, we are so compromised that we have trained our children that if there's anything more important for you to do on a church night or a Sunday morning than go to church and worship God, go do it. Now, Adele didn't know that Wednesday night historically has been the church night. And why would any school program, why would any athletic director or have them doing practices or games on a Wednesday? You know, that was never the case until just recently. How long has it been now? I'm sorry? Probably 20 years. Last 20 years, maybe 30 years. Where there's no regard for the church, right? There's no regard for the things of God. Oh, well, then, you know, hey, you can, you know, you'll make it up. It's just a Wednesday night, you know. Now, listen, it's not about a Wednesday night. It's not about a Sunday morning. It's about you worshiping God and meeting God in His house when He's asked you to. Being committed, being devoted, doing your duty, being responsible. God honors that. You've despised my Sabbath. Verse 9, in you are men who slander to cause bloodshed. In you are those who eat on the mountains in the midst of they commit lewdness. What was that about? Worshipping Ashtoreth, Diana, Artemis, whatever you want to call her, the goddess of fertility, sexual pleasure. So they would go up and they would get into these induced states through alcohol or drugs, and then would participate in all of this immorality, the sexual immorality. Well, they're still going to the temple on the Sabbath, but this is really where they're lifting up their soul. Will God be mocked?
No.
What does the text tell us? Your sin will find you out. God will not be mocked. It will. You know, you can live a double life for a while. Eventually, it's all going to show itself. Just give any situation enough time, the truth will be revealed. In you, men uncover their father's nakedness. In you, they violate women who are set apart during their impurity. One commits abomination with his neighbor's wife. Another lewdly defiles his daughter-in-law. And another in you violates his sister, his father's daughter. Aren't we glad all of that is done away with, right? There's no sexual abuse any longer. It's worse than it's ever been in this Me Too generation. Verse 12, in you, they take bribes to shed blood. You take usury and increase. You have made profit from your neighbors by extortion and have forgotten me, says the Lord. The greatest violation of all. They've turned from the Lord. Listen, beloved, I love you. But I've been doing this for a little while, and there's been a lot of people that have walked with me for a time, and then they decided to just turn away from the Lord. Oh, you know, it won't, you know, just for a little while. Just, you know, it's just important for me to do this, you know. And then before long, you ask them where they are in the relationship with the Lord, and it's precisely they have forgotten the Lord. Oh, you know, I go to church, but it's online. You mean you don't go to a physical church? You don't have a pastor? You don't have a fellowship? You don't have koinonia? You don't have accountability? You don't have a support network? You don't have brothers and sisters who love you, who pray with you, who cry with you, who laugh with you? That's not church at all. You understand that? And that is so common today. And then you got these large gatherings for the concert and the cotton candy. You know, they love the concert, and they think it's worship. It's anything but. It's profane. It's an abomination. And then, at best, they get a little fluff. Some verse they can tuck under their pillow at night, but not the truth. Yes, you've forgotten me, says the Lord, verse 13. Behold, therefore, I beat my fists at the dishonest prophet which you have made and at the bloodshed which you have has been in your midst. You know, how many of you are servicemen? Any servicemen here? How many of you seen combat? Anybody seen combat? No. I think of all of the boys, the blood and the treasure that we have spilt because of the military-industrial complex, and people on both sides of the aisle getting very, very rich. Very rich on the blood of our children. This is what he's talking about here. It's exactly what's happened. This Ukrainian war and our involvement in Ukraine. Is there any security need, national security need that exists for us to defend Ukraine? producing all this monopoly money, weakening our own economy, causing this hyperinflation. And yet that government over there in Ukraine is no less corrupt than Putin is. You understand that? Oh, we're going to get kicked off YouTube. I know it. It happened already. Okay, all right. This is us all over again, beloved. I will scatter you among the nations. I will disperse 15 now. I will scatter you among the nations. Oh, no, go to 14. I didn't cover 14, did I? Can your heart endure, or can your hands remain strong in the days when I shall deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. Now listen to me. You can't strengthen yourself spiritually and in your relationship with the Lord when the trouble hits. When judgment begins, it is too late. You can cry all you want. You can get on your knees. You can beg. You can beat the ground. It's not going to do you any good. When should you be strengthened spiritually? When should you be strengthened in mind, in spirit, and in soul for what God may have coming? Now, right now. Last week, last time we were together in Ezekiel, we were informed by the Lord that not only will the wicked suffer during this time, who else would suffer?
The righteous.
Oh, my. Wait a minute. That doesn't square with most people's theology. Does it? No. But let me tell you something. What is coming is a consequence of sin in this world. It's going to affect us. Now, any momentary light affliction is not to be compared to that eternal weight of glory, right? Any temporary suffering that we experience here, it's nothing compared to what he has promised us. Now, if you wrap your mind, your heart, your soul around that, you'll get through it no problem. Just as the early church did, just as the church has been persecuted right now is in other parts of the world. When, as John Michael had said so many times, when has it ever been safe to be a Christian? Never. Never really. And one of the most dangerous places to be a Christian is the United States of America. Why? Because you get compromised and corrupted so easily and so quickly. All the accommodations, all the appeasements. So when are you going to strengthen yourself? Right now. That's right, Leah. Right now. Right now. And who do you strengthen yourself in? In the Lord. And how do you do that? The Word, the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, right? And the blessed hope, is it here? No. I know the plans for thee, saith the Lord, to give you a hope, not for evil, but for good, to give you a hope and a future. Who said that? Jeremiah, the prophet. Who is he talking to? Israel of old. And what was Israel of old about to go into? 70 years of captivity. Such plans, such good, right? Because God wasn't talking about the temporal. He was talking about the eternal. How does everybody interpret that verse today? The here and the now. Oh, God wants to bless me. Well, what if his blessing comes in struggles? What if his blessing comes in testings? What if his blessing comes in sufferings? And so often it does, you know, to prepare you for an eternal blessing. Yeah, that's what that text means. Strengthen yourself now. Not when trouble hits. It's too late then, you see. And there's a hurricane of trouble coming. It's out there. It's a Category 6. And I take no pleasure in saying it. I'm just trying to prepare you as I prepare myself, my own heart, my own mind, to wrap myself around the reality in which we're in today, currently. The corruption is so pervasive. There is no hope. Our society is gone. It's lost. Do you understand that? When we're advocating and legislating the insane things that we are and criminalizing that which is righteous, you know we're in trouble. So what's God's response? Verse 15, I will scatter you among the nations. He told them that in Deuteronomy when Moses was bringing him into the land. He said, look, if you don't obey me, I'm going to scatter you. I'm going to judge you. I'm going to punish you. I will disperse you throughout the countries and remove your filthiness completely from you. You shall defile yourself in the sight of the nations. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So God's going to make himself known. He would not allow him to make himself known in blessing as they were obedient to him, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful I've experienced God and his faithfulness in the blessings that he's given me because I've just simply surrendered to his will. Amen? Come on, amen?
Amen.
Amen. But you know, God will prove his existence in judgment. Conversely, in the sufferings that you go through because of your foolishness and not obeying him, and then the things he brings about directly to come into your life to humble you. He chastens what?
Those
whom he loves. If there's no chastening, you're not the Lord's. But oh, what a wonderful thing when he chastens us. That's what he's saying, talking about here. He says, I'm going to disperse you. I'm going to stick you about the nations. And you're going to be so sick and tired of your... Once they went into Babylon during that captivity, they were up to here with idols. Idol worship wasn't the problem anymore after that. You know. Now the means by which God is going to judge them. Verse 17, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. They are all bronze, tin, iron, lead in the midst of the fiery furnace. They have become dross from silver. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have all become dross, therefore, behold, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. What is dross good for?
Nothing.
What do they do with the dross that they skim off the top? It's discarded. It's worthless. It's good for nothing. And that's what... Listen, this is his people, Israel. He's saying, you're worthless to me. You're good for nothing. Because you have all become dross. Therefore, behold, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem as men gather silver and bronze, iron, lead, and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow fire on it, to melt it. So I will gather you in my anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you, reduce you to nothing, basically. And that's precisely what the Bible tells us is going to happen. Men's hearts will fail to melt within them. Yes, I will gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in its midst. As silver is melted in the midst of a furnace, so shall you be melted in its midst. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury on you. God be true, let every man... And it's true. Listen, you know, Paul, I love Paul. Paul loved the truth. He loved the word. And he would say, listen... Just give the situation enough time. You can do nothing against the truth. The truth is the truth. The truth will be proven true. Do you understand that? It doesn't matter how far away we move from God, how much we legislate immorality and abominations, whether it's child killing and it's transgender madness. Eventually, because of the consequence of all of that craziness, the truth will be proven true. God's way is the only way in which we would prosper. Prosper as a people. Prosper as individuals. Mental health. Relational health. Societal health. Physical health. Spiritual health. It brings such wholeness when we do things God's way. I know what it was like the other way. I came to the Lord... 1980. I was born in 51. I lived a lot of sin, a lot of foolishness, a lot of the other way of life, and it never profited me. And it brought such difficulty into my life and such suffering. But then when I turned to the Lord and began to do things his way, the book, the blood, the promise, the blessed hope, right? Everything became so simple. Isn't it simple? What God desires from us. I didn't say it was easy. I just said it was simple. Okay? Simple to understand. Oh, but your flesh, the world, the devil, hey, fight with you constantly not to do it. But when you start to live that way, everything changes, doesn't it? The wicked leadership in Israel. Verse 23, and the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, say to her, to Jerusalem, you are a land that is not cleansed nor rained on in the day of your indignation. They're filthy. They're still covered in their filth. There's been no cleansing for them. Verse 25, the conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in their midst. Anybody think of anything in particular as you read that? What the leaders, the religious leaders were doing to profit themselves? Taking advantage of people, taking possession of their property and their treasures? For 1,000 years, for a millennium, the Catholic Church had the machine, the barbaric Inquisition. When they wanted to take a monarch's treasures, depose the king or the queen, they would simply falsely accuse them. They would make widows of many a woman because they wanted some man's possessions or his land or bow his knee to their authority, but they wouldn't. And so they would make a false accusation. And you torture them long enough, they would confess
everything.
That's what these heretics do with the word today. You torture the Bible long enough, it'll confess anything. That's a joke. But it's not very funny, is it? Because it's too much in practice today. These people who twist and manipulate the scriptures to say what they want it to say rather than what it truly says. Yes. I think of that, the Inquisition. I think of the priests who falsely accuse so many righteous, godly people and take away their possessions. George Soros. How did George Soros get all that? He's a Jew. His father was a Jew. How did he get all his money? Collaborating with the Nazis and confiscating the treasures of all of these European Jews. And his father got a piece of it. And that's where he started. There's a special place in hell for him and his dad. I believe that. Terrible. Terrible. This is the kind of thing he's talking about here. Verse 26. Her priests now have violated my law, profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between what is holy and unholy, nor have they made the difference between unclean and clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths so that I am profaned among them. Nadab and Abihu come to mind? They were priests, weren't they? What a glorious day it had to be when they were anointed to become priests. You know, Aaron's wife must have been so proud of her boys. But they were scoundrels. If you have a greedy, covetous, adulterous, profane heart, there's only one person that can change that. That's God. And if a person doesn't surrender, doesn't submit, doesn't yield, doesn't come clean to what's really going on inside, it's just a matter of time. And over a matter of time, what happened with Nadab and Abihu? They were having sex with women in the temple, in the tabernacle, and then offer strange fire to the Lord. Aren't we glad that the pastors are not accused of doing such things today? They would never forbid the thought. Wow. It's amazing. Amazing. You know, I read this and I'm just shocked. I'm just shocked at why is it we don't learn, David? Why don't we think about these things? Why don't we consider them? As I began the service tonight, I'm asking you, just please, please stop and think deeply about these things. It'll change your behavior. It'll change your desires. It'll change your hungers and your thirsts. You see, there's no profit in it. It's to no advantage. The world is constantly trying to allure us with the trinkets or the temporary pleasures of this life. Somebody puffing you up. Verse 27, the political leaders, her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Who are they working for in Washington? It's certainly not for us. It's certainly not for the good of America. I mean, we've opened the door wide to the Chinese, not the back door, the front door. Haven't we? You see what's going on. We can't protect our own borders, but we're spending trillions of dollars over there in Ukraine to fight a proxy war with Russia that we're going to lose. You see, France, this week, what did Macron say? What did he say, Rob?
He was with China.
Yeah. What did he say? Remember what he said?
Something about the United States.
He said, we got to disconnect France from the dollar.
Yep.
We got to disconnect France from the dollar. We saved them.
Twice.
How many Frenchmen does it take to save Paris? We'll never know. They never tried.
My parents are there right now, and Mom said that the nightly news is mocking the United States unbelievably.
Of course they are. The whole world is. The whole world is.
Everywhere they've gone, it's just horrible, the news that they're covering in the United States.
Yeah. We're the laughing stock of the world. Just as what God did to Israel, he's done to us. Why? We have forgotten him.
Well, isn't it because the nature of Satan is
so much? Oh, no.
So why wouldn't it repeat itself?
Of course. But one day, we'll see the demise of Satan and all of his deception. Her prophets plastered with untempered mortar, seeing false visions, divining lies, and saying, thus says the Lord, when the Lord hasn't spoken. Boy, is that not common today.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all of the, have you ever gone on YouTube and just type in, God has spoken? And all these people who claim that God has spoken to them directly, they've got a vision from God and they have a message. And so often, they're so contrary to the word of God. That started with the Catholic Church. I was a young Catholic, we were told when the Pope speaks ex cathedra, when he sits on that throne and he puts on that fish hat, he is the vicar of Christ, he is Christ on earth. Not his representative, he is Christ on earth. You understand that? That's what they mean. He's Christ. Now, when he pontificates, that has greater authority than the word of God. Why? Because it's a new revelation from God. So there's nothing new, right? Now, who does that today? Who claims that today?
Mormon Church.
Who? The Mormon Church. Well, yeah, We had three of those boys in my neighborhood yesterday. Snickers. Blasphemer Snickers. Yeah, word of Satan. Word of faith. The word of faith say we have received the Rhema. Rhema, not the Logos. No, this is the Logos, right? The word of God. But they've received the Rhema. Rhema, that God is doing a new thing, you see. And now that God has given us this new word, it supersedes anything he's said in the word. Then you get heretics like Stanley's boy. What's his name?
Handy
Andy. Boy, oh boy, what a heretic he's become. My goodness. It's amazing, isn't it? Untempered mortar. The wall will not stand up. It's destined to fall. It's not built upon the truth. There's no solid foundation. The early church, Acts chapter 2, what did they do? They remained steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. That's our foundation. And it wasn't the apostles' doctrine. Whose doctrine was it?
Jesus.
It was the doctrines of Christ, the doctrines of our God. The priests, the prophet, the princes, now the people, verse 29. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robberies, mistreated the poor and the needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. Anybody want a vacation in Portland?
No.
San Francisco?
No, thank you.
No? New York City? No. Look at these. They're hell holes, aren't they? Literally. No. And the violence is so extreme. It's amazing. And we've allowed it to happen. They've engineered it, you see. The people, the representatives that we have in government are simply representatives of the people. I'm sorry?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. No. Listen, you're a minority. What we believe and what we think and what we cherish is not the common belief of the nation. Now, I'll agree with you that a healthy percentage of the nation wants prosperity, they want safety, they want law and order. What don't they want? They don't want God controlling their life. They don't want God in authority over their life. They want all the blessings of Christianity, they don't want the cross. The people. Verse 30, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Now, I voted for President Trump. I'll vote for him again if he runs for office. Why? Because I want a strong economy. I want safe borders. But I'm not voting for President Trump because he's a spiritual man. He's not a spiritual man. I'm not voting for the nation's pastor, okay? But understand, there's only one hope for the nation. That's Jesus Christ. And there isn't a man who can stand in the gap. Name me one. Who is the next Billy Graham?
I was going to say he died.
I'm sorry?
That was the man. He died.
He died.
That was the man.
There's no one. And God is saying then, he was looking for the man. Where are the Eric Lindells? Oh, we got to go to a soccer game. Oh, we got soccer practice. Oh, I got to go to the lake. Oh, it's a beautiful day. I'm going to put my boat in. Etc. Excuse after excuse after excuse why we've lifted up our soul to another. Is that not true? Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord. Who's to blame for all of this? They are. Who's to blame for all of it? Come on. Who's to blame for all of this that we're going through right now? We are. Why? We've turned from our God. We have forgotten him. We are presuming upon the grace of God, and there's nothing worse than a person can do who claims faith than presume upon his grace. Let us have grace, the writer of Hebrews says, by which we will serve God acceptably, reverently, and with a godly fear. That's what grace produces. Grace doesn't produce your presumption upon his grace, that you think you can live any way you want, that you can have, as I said Sunday, with all of the, we had a full church Sunday, didn't we? You can't have a lost life and a saved soul. Doesn't square with the scriptures. The scripture will never accommodate you having a lost life and allowing you to think deceptively you have a saved soul. It's impossible. If you have a saved soul, it displays itself in a transformed life, a changed life. If the grace of God has really apprehended you, that grace of God will produce a life that desires to serve God acceptably in the way he has dictated, reverently. Because you have the fear of the Lord. You don't want to disappoint him. I put him on the cross. The last thing I want to do now is act treacherously towards him in this relationship we have. I don't want to be a traitor. I don't want to commit spiritual adultery. I will serve him acceptably, reverently, and with a godly fear. The problem today, there's no fear of God. Oh, God's everybody's best friend. God's like Coca-Cola. God's my co-pilot. God's this. God's that. You know, those little cliches. You don't understand who God is if that's part of your understanding. You have no idea how high, awesome, and majestic he really is. John, who felt so comfortable laying his head upon his breast, when he saw him in his glory, fell down as if dead. The fear of the Lord. Amen? You know, ask God to give you a renewed understanding of who you are in comparison to who he is and what your responsibility is. how you would conduct yourself in a responsible manner as his son and daughter now. And that he would alter, he would change you to become a servant of his, reverently, acceptingly, and having a fear of the Lord. I fear Gail. I've arm wrestled her. She's tough. No, I fear Gail. I fear Gail's going to hurt me? No. No. I fear I would hurt her. I fear I would violate this love relationship we have when she's given so much of herself to me. How could I do anything that would hurt her? And today's your spiritual birthday, isn't it? Happy birthday, my dear. Yeah? Happy birthday. But that's the fear of the Lord. You know, when you can violate the relationship we have, and then I'm not talking to you. I must be talking to somebody else out there in Never Never Land. When you can violate the relationship you have with the Lord and it doesn't even bother you, I mean, there's no conviction. There's something seriously wrong. It would sicken me to hurt my relationship with that woman because she showed me how much she loves me, faithful to me. Every time I go home, she's there. But she don't wag her tail the way the dog does. You know, but she's there. But she cooks my meals. You know. She washes my clothes. She makes my bed. You do all these things for me. Why? I don't pay you to do that? No. I don't force you to do that? No. Why do you do those? Because you love me. Look at this. Consider the multitude of blessing that God has laid upon us. How could we do anything to violate that relationship and not make it sicken us? Amen? Pastor David, you got a closing song? Shall we stand?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Community Chapel of Greenville. For more information and to find more teachings, please go to www.ccgreenville.org. It is our desire to see our Lord high and lifted up, and to see his people grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.